This week, as I was wondering what I could speak to you, again, I had no idea what we would be praying about this morning and who would we be praying for and the length of time that we would be praying. I came to church today with a hope that we would understand what healing is, and it's almost like I should not even be speaking on this, but I just feel to give the regard to your spirit and then also to the high regard to the Lord to fulfill what he had placed in my heart to speak. I want to speak out of Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 on the subject of healing, but I'm going to take the whole scripture there all the way to verse 6. Mark chapter 3, text will be verses 1 through 3. And he entered the synagogue again, and a man was there who had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they may accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "It is lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill." But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they may destroy him. Today we're speaking on a subject of how Jesus healed a man's hand, how it affected a whole city, and when he healed that, how it affected the Pharisees, the scribes, the Herodians, the observers that day in the temple, because Jesus healed on the Sabbath. There's also reference scriptures you can look at in Matthew 12, 9 through 14, and Luke 6, 6 and 11. These are synopsis of what these scriptures are being used here in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And there's three points that I won't expand on, but I want you to hear clearly and remember this. This is for you, because the Lord told me to tell you this is for you. The three points is the appropriation of a dream. Secondly, the alteration of a dream. And thirdly, the assurance of a dream. The appropriation of a dream, the alteration of a dream, the assurance of a dream. All of you, along with myself, have a dream. If we're not careful, that dream can be altered. It can become withered. It's still there. We see it, but it's useless. This man was a masonry, what has been written in historical books. A masonry who hurt his hand on the job. And he lost the nerves and everything in his hand, and his hand withered up, and he could not use it any longer. He was an outcast. He was ostracized from people. And that's oftentimes what happens with us when we have received our dream and then we have an alteration to our dream. We feel left out. Let me say that there are times where we go to meetings or fellowship gatherings and somebody's successful, and the person standing behind the podium that day is there to speak on the great success that they've had. But many sit in the pew or the chairs in that auditorium that day, hearing another success, but really inside, they realize their dream was so altered that it's withered. And all they're doing is hearing a successful story, but yet there's a torment because they want so deeply to be healed. This man may have felt that way, walking around and seeing everyone with limbs and arms that worked, were able to do the job that they were created to do. Maybe he went to visit his Mason friends throughout the week and sat on a wall, which they have built, and talked about what he used to be able to do. But this day, he was in the temple. And I'm saying all this very quickly, because he was in the temple that day because he was asked to come into the temple by the Pharisees. They were going to set Jesus up, to trick him, to see how he would respond to this on the Sabbath, when you weren't permitted to heal on the Sabbath on this particular type of sickness or bodily function that had been maimed. It wasn't a life or death situation. And what would Jesus do? And then the gallery there, the temple was set in a way that there were marble benches set all the way around where people could come and witness and what was going on in the temple that day. So there was all sorts of different types of people. There were the observers that literally went to temple that day. And just like any one of us in church, sometimes people just come to observe. They don't know how to be part. They've come to observe. Or maybe they just felt that emotion in their mind or in their heart or in their character that day as they were coming to church. You know, I just don't feel like being part. I'm just going to observe. They were there. But the scribes and the Pharisees were there. And mostly the Pharisees were there to trick the creator of the heavens and the earth. The one who wrote the law. The one who is the law. And literally, he was there. But this man today was standing there, maybe by happenstance, because he was asked to be there. But today, Jesus was going to make sure that he would still have the assurance of his dream. The assurance of your dream. Something that has come into your own life and how it is. It may not be as structurally sound as when you first received it. It doesn't have to be normally or a physically handicapped area in your body that needs to be fixed. It can be an emotional area. It could be a relational area to where it's withered, where it doesn't seem to work any longer. And the hope seemingly is distant. It's a Sabbath day. There are days when we dream our dreams or we think, maybe Jesus is just too busy today. Or maybe I don't want to bother him about this. Because it's as good as dead. I can't use it any longer. I don't want to speak about it. It causes problems in my family when I talk about it. When I dream my dream out loud, people look at me like I should be asleep and not be talking. But there's something in you that says, I don't care what day of the week it is. I don't care what time of the day it is. I want to dream my dream. I want to see what I have been promised fulfilled in my life. But you see, oftentimes religiosity or religion squenches or crushes human compassion. Jesus was standing there with the mercies of God because he was and is God. He was a very much God, yet very much God man at that point. And yet the Pharisees were representing those people that have built precept upon precept upon precept adding on to the law, to the law, to the law, to uplift their own self-righteousness. We're ready to squish and stop the mercy of God from being used when it was the most appropriate time. The lesson for our life is never to allow religion to keep us from having Jesus visit us. Never allow a schedule where Jesus is scheduled out of the schedule. Always make sure that there is room for Jesus in your schedule, in your everyday life. This particular time, it's the Sabbath. The arena's set. Pharisees are there. A man's there. And Jesus takes authority over this. He takes authority instead of saying to him, "My name's Jesus. I'm the creator of the heavens and the earth. I am the healer. I healed your ancestors in the desert. I spoke the miracles of water and the quail, that they would be quenched of their thirst and fed. I am the manna that came down from heaven. But could you come back tomorrow because it's the Sabbath?" No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, "Could you come back tomorrow?" He said to him, in front of all those people, all the observers, the crowd that was there, "Step forward." And I want to say to you today as a church, I believe that Jesus is saying to you and I, step forward. Step forward. Step into your dream. Step forward. You say, "Well, Pastor, I am so withered. I have lost so much faith. I have such a thimble full of belief left. Or I don't have any belief left. I had that dream. But the dream got altered by religion, by people. Somehow, some way, my dream is withered. My relationships are withered. My emotions are withered. My spirituality is withered. My hope for ministry is withered. But I am saying to you back, Jesus is saying, step forward. Even though the gallery is around you and they're ready to criticize and they're ready to say this can't happen and this should not happen at this time or at this day, this is not possible for your life because of the hour that you live in or what's going on in your life, Jesus is saying, step forward. Jesus is saying it. Let me remind you that he rolled out the stars off his fingertips. The next time you look up to the heavens and the city lights are not blinding out the stars, you can see the amount of stars that are there. He named them all. Let me tell you that he took the earth and he pinched it and pulled up the mountains. He caused the waters to come forth for the oceans. He's hung the sun there so we could be warm and the moon there so we could have light by night. Let me say to you that he is the one that breathed life into Adam, which he took out of the dust that he created. You see, not only did he create Adam from the dust, he created the dust that he created Adam with. And not only did he create the dust that he created Adam with, but he created that dust out of nothing. He took nothing and made it something. So your dream may be withered. It may be altered. You may think nothing's left. But I want you to know that the one who gave you the dream is saying, step forward.
Step forward and be healed.
The action of obedience needed to come. That action that we all need to have to move forward, to say to him, here I am. Yeah, the scoffers and the skeptics, they're all going to probably mumble and whisper. They may even say, there they go again. Every week, up to the altar, there we go again. Pastor's praying for them again, or you may be at a meeting somewhere, in a revival meeting, a crusade, and every night we've been at this meeting, there they go again. You may be at a major crusade where some of the greatest national and worldwide speakers come to speak. I'm not going to throw out names. You can just have the names in your mind. But every service, you're there early. You're at the front row. You're three rows back, three seats in. You're center of the podium. And when the altar call's made, you don't even wait to the come step forward. You're already walking and squishing by people saying, excuse me, pardon me, because you want to be first at the altar. I say to you today, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. I remember being in youth camps and helping direct those youth camps here in California, Nevada, and speaking at youth camps in Hawaii in the Pacific Northwest as the keynote speaker. And I remember the young people every night coming to that altar, every night coming to be saved, every night coming to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Every night, and people would say to me, they were up here last night, Pastor Dennis. They've already been saved. I said, if they're coming up again, let's get them saved again. Now, I understand you may be thinking that's not very theologically sound. Let me tell you, as long as these young people came to the altar, we prayed for them. We prayed and we continued to pray into the night to where they gave their heart to the Lord. And boy, they'd come up the next night and somebody said to me again, they're back again. I say, no matter how long it takes, one day they won't be back again because they'll realize they're saved. What I'm saying to you is this. Don't ever let the scoffer or the criticizer or the people around you say, oh, there they go again. Or the looks that you may get when you head for the altar. Don't ever let the looks keep you from receiving. I'll tell you, whenever I have a need, Jesus knows I'm coming back till I get it. Amen. I keep going until, and I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to wear out Jesus till I get what I need. Because he promised it. I'm going to wear him out till he fulfills the promise because he promised it. So whatever the spectators may do, no matter what the scoffers may say, no matter what anything may be around you, remember the shepherd who had compassion on the sheep in Mark 9 and 36 when he walked off that boat and he saw the crowd of people he had and was moved with compassion because they were a sheep without a shepherd, and they were being tormented. Don't ever stop seeking. Don't ever stop dreaming. If your dream is altered today, Jesus is saying to you, step forward. You see, the spectators kind of fulfill Psalm 37 and 32, the religious people. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. You see, we have to trust that there is a healing God in our life that knows everything about us. But there are those that have stubborn hearts. Their heart is so hard. You see, what has to happen is their heart gets so hard it becomes blind, where God needs to open their eyes again to his glory and his mercy and his compassion and his love, his grace, his kindness, and his goodness. And literally, if the heart gets so hard, God has to smash that heart and break it and restore it with a new heart. Praise God.
Don't ever let a withered dream, a withered relationship, something that's withered emotionally in your life, stay withered. If you're saved and you got a prayer life, if you're not saved and you know how to reach out to Jesus and ask for salvation, please, He will tell you to step forward, to step forward in your life to help you and to see you become what needs to be done. You see, Jesus puts a high value on human need. It's humans that don't. Humans, which we are, puts a high value on their own personal need. That's normal. It's natural. But God sanctifies us and draws us close to Him through prayer, through fastings, through reading the Word, and through experiences. And that the more we walk with Jesus, the more we walk out of the shadows into His marvelous light, and the more we become like Him. Praise God. And our dreams become assured again. I am assured of my dreams. I am assured of the dreams of this church. I am assured of your dreams. Are you? Are you assured that what was spoken to you will be there? The Bible is very clear that Jesus was not happy with the way they treated Him before He said anything to the man again. He looked at them with anger, a righteous indignation, an anger that said, you care more about tricking me, more about the day that it is, more about the temple than you do about a man that is in need. You would leave not your animal in the ditch. You would get him or her out of that ditch, but you would let a man stay without a hand. He couldn't work, couldn't provide for his family. He was ostracized. It wasn't sin. It was an accident on the job. How many know people in construction that have had accidents on the job? How many know a pastor that fell off the roof a week and a half ago, had an accident on the job? Amen. Let me tell you right now, accidents happen. How many know that accidents can happen in relationships in a church? How many know that accidents can happen in relationships in a family? How many knows that someday you just wake up and everything looks like it's going to be good, and then the day, moments later into that day, a hurricane hits the home? And how many realize that all of a sudden you are now standing upon the rock, and so when that hurricane ends, you will still be founded on the rock, Jesus Christ, the revelation of who He is. Praise God. He is the one that will bring assurance to your dream. That's how He looked at them. You care more about your religion and your law than you do a human in need. God's compassion always overshadows that of religiosity and laws that keep men and women from getting closer to Jesus and knowing His miraculous power. The plan, it was based on the promise of the Word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's a promise. I said, that's a promise from God. Whatever you do shall prosper. In other words, He's saying your dreams, shall not wither. Whatever you put your hands to, you'll possess. Whatever you put your hands to will bring success. Whatever you do will prosper. Step forward. Step forward into the presence of the King who knew you while he was yet on a cross. He knew you and died for you when you were yet in darkness. He translated you into the kingdom of his Son, and you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace himself walked on this earth to show you the unmerited favor that you did not deserve and I did not deserve, but he decided that we did. Because of his great love towards us, he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus, the King of kings and the Lord of glory. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. He knows your way. He knows your dream. As a matter of fact, the reason he knows your dream is because he gave it to you. He gave you the dream. He wanted to teach the Pharisees that God wanted his people to enjoy freedom and not suffer in religious bondage. And too many people today are in religious bondage. In Acts 15 and 10, the Bible simply says, "Now therefore, why do you test God?" In the beginning of that verse. Step forward. The request now was obeyed by the man. But the next thing Jesus said after he showed his distaste to those that were trying to trick him, all on the cost of someone who was already suffering. That's what religion does. The price is paid by somebody who is already suffering. Jesus said, "Stretch out your hand." And if you don't know this, this is a little nugget for you to have. The Bible always talks about the right hand because that's the hand of God. Stretch out your hand. And in studying and finding out, guess what hand was withered? The right hand. Showing a type that the enemy came and took out the right hand where he could not show forth any more help and could not survive because his good hand, the right hand, was no longer working. In your own life, just maybe in your dream that has been altered. The dream that you had great hope has been altered and withered. It's that right hand in your dream. There's no way to get through it. Jesus said, "Stretch out your hand." There had to be an action. Not only step forward, but stretch out your hand. In other words, show me your dream. Show me you believe that I can do it. Taking a step forward is one thing, but showing me all that you believe I am and all that you believe I can do and all that you know I will do, stretch it out before me. In the reaction, the man steps into the presence of the Lord's gaze, and he sees that the Lord's gaze is upon him. And the repair, he may have stretched it out shaking that day. I don't know. I would imagine to stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of that gallery in a temple where worship was supposed to be being done, but people had forsaken worship of the Lord their God to trick the creator of the heavens and the earth. They had forsaken worship. That's what religious people do. They forsake worship for their own precepts to be honored. I would imagine that he stepped forward. I don't know how bold he was. It doesn't matter how bold he was. It doesn't matter how sheepish he was. He stepped forward. He may have heard the whispers of those around him, but he stepped forward. I don't know if he was trembling or shaking before such a man that he had heard so many things about. Thinking about how he may be reproved for doing this on the Sabbath, even though Jesus would be doing the actual work of healing, he is the receiver of this. What could happen to him and his family? He'd already been ostracized, but he had faith. No matter what it looked like, is what I'm trying to portray to you. No matter what it looked like, he stepped forward. He stretched out his hand, and Jesus met him and coupled with his faith in Jesus, he brought to him what his deep expectation was hoping for. He healed his hand. His hand was made whole. He was made again to be able to dream. He was able to again to have confidence in what needs to happen in his life. Because he knew that there stood the Creator. There he was. And he created the Sabbath for men. And he was the Lord of the Sabbath. He was there. And I want to say to you today, God asked me to speak this message to you. Spoke to me in prayer to speak this message to you today. And I want to say to you today that God wants to awaken your dream. God wants to take the hand that you may have, whatever it may be described as, and he wants to have you step forward, and he wants to have you stretch it out before him, and he wants to bring the assurance back to you. Mark describes many times in his writings about the miracles of Jesus. But what they prove is that the kingdom of God is a reign of healing and release. I want you to write that one down. The kingdom of God is a reign of healing and release. A release. Again, how many today want a release? Want a release in their life, a release in their relationships, a release in their family, or want a release in their ministry. Yes. But the miracles depend on faith. Those who believe that Jesus has God's authority are healed. You see, oftentimes we think Jesus is just too ordinary in the day we live. Let me tell you something, we've changed. He hasn't. He's not ordinary. He is God. He is your healer, your savior. He is your deliverer. He's your sanctifier. He is not ordinary. He's not the person at work that you get used to. He has more for you. The old adage is, you ain't seen nothing yet. He has more for you. He has more for you. He has more for you and you. He has more for you. He has more for you. He has more for all of you. They have very little faith in him, and he can do very little for them. Jesus' enemies agree that he can deliver people from evil spirits. He won't. He won't do this. Because they don't have faith that Jesus can do this. But they explain it by saying that Jesus is working for the devil. They call him a devil. He casts out spirits by the devil. The Bible declares this. And Jesus says a kingdom against itself can't stand. He casts out spirits because that's the enemy. And he wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost and healed and strengthened. As well as miracles of healing and deliverance, Jesus feeds large crowds, walks on water, and destroys fig tree with a curse. All these actions show God at work, feeding, rescuing, healing, and in the case of the fig tree, judging his people. Today, I want to ask you something. Are you willing to step forward and to stretch out your hand that you may be healed?